The Extraordinary Life of Mary Seacole, published by Penguin Books. Written by Nadia Redgrave and illustrated by Aliona Harris. Who was Mary Seacole? Mary Seacole was a British doctress and businesswoman born in Jamaica who became known as a hero for her work during the Crimean War. A doctress is a woman from the Caribbean islands who could cure illnesses with local herbs and medicines. On the 23rd of November 1805, Mary Jane Grant was born in Kingston, the capital of Jamaica. Right from when she was little, Mary learned all about herbal medicines from her mother, who ran a boarding house. A boarding house is a house, often a family home, where rooms are rented out to lodgers for weeks, months, or even years. Soldiers who were stationed in Jamaica often visited the boarding houses for meals and supplies. They also went to be treated for different illnesses by Mary's mother, who was known for being a talented healer. By watching her mother, Mary discovered her own passion for treating sick people, which continued throughout her life. Mary was a bold and brave woman who often travelled alone. This was unusual for a woman during the 1800s, but Mary was very independent. She wrote all about her travels in the book, Wonderful Adventures of Mrs. Seacole in Many Lands. It was the first ever autobiography published by a free black woman in the British Empire. An autobiography is a book that an author writes about their own life, sometimes called a memoir. We've just mentioned the British Empire, which the book explains like this. Great Britain used to rule over many different places all over the world. It took control by invading and forcing the people already living there to submit to British rule. This was called the British Empire. Jamaica was seized by the British in 1655. In her book, Mary wrote about the difficulties she faced being a brown-skinned woman travelling overseas because of prejudice against people with dark skin. At the time, black people were often called cruel names and many weren't allowed to have the same jobs or share the same spaces as white people. Mary experienced this firsthand when she was turned away while trying to board a boat with white American passengers. This sometimes made it hard for Mary to follow her dreams, but she was very determined. She wanted to help people and she refused to let anything get in her way. When the Crimean War had broken out in 1853, Mary had travelled to London to apply for a job as a hospital nurse in the Crimea. Mary arrived in the Crimea with letters from British Army officers whom she had treated in Jamaica that proved she had great medical skills. She was turned down by the British War Office, but she didn't give up. Instead, she travelled to the war zone with her own money and set up a place where she provided home-cooked meals and supplies to soldiers and treated them when they were sick and wounded. Mary is now remembered for her bravery and medical knowledge while caring for British soldiers during the Crimean War. Did you know a statue of Mary was erected outside St Thomas's Hospital in London in 2016? Mary's beginnings. Mary spent the first few years of her life in Kingston on the island of Jamaica. Jamaica is part of a group of islands known as the West Indies in the Caribbean Sea. They are found between the United States and South America. Mary's mother was a doctress and her father, James Grant, was an officer in the British Army. Mary was always very proud of both of her parents and her mixed heritage. She got her passion for medicine from her mother and her sense of adventure from her father. Those two qualities set Mary on a path that would see her travel to many different places and touch many people's lives. At the time of Mary's birth, Jamaica was one of the world's leading exporters of sugar, which was shipped out of Kingston to the rest of the British Empire. Black people were not native to Jamaica. They were brought in by the British from Africa to work as slaves on sugar plantations. When Mary was young, most Jamaicans worked as slaves for their British masters. However, both Mary and her mother were born free. People born free were not owned as slaves and were able to run their own businesses. Mary's mother ran a boarding house that doubled up as a hospital. Here she treated soldiers and their families when they fell ill with tropical diseases, which are infectious illnesses that appear in hot, humid places. She was well respected, and the boarding house was visited by the most important people in the British Army. When Mary was very young, she was taken to live with an old lady and her grandchildren, where she was taught reading, writing, and other subjects. Mary still visited her mother often and watched in awe as she mixed herbal medicines and treated patients. Seeing that her daughter was keen to learn about medicine, Mary's mother started to pass her doctorate knowledge down. Mary practiced at every opportunity, starting at first with her dolls. Did you know? Eventually, Mary moved on to treating her pets, but it was difficult to get them to keep still. Mary said, "I began to make use of the little knowledge I had acquired from watching my mother upon a great sufferer, my doll. Whatever disease was most prevalent in Kingston, be sure my poor doll soon contracted it." In the end, Mary started to practice on herself, and by the time she was 12, she had become more involved in helping around her mother's boarding house. She was learning even more about medicine and was sometimes even allowed to help with real patients. It was then that Mary decided what she wanted to do with her life. She would become a doctress and hotel owner, just like her mother. Adventure calls. In her early teens, Mary started to dream of travelling. She loved to look at a map of the world and daydream about her future, using her finger to trace the route a boat would take to England. In 1821, her dreams came true. Mary travelled to England for the first time and stayed for about a year. It was exciting being in this new place that was so different to Kingston, Jamaica. Mary mostly enjoyed it very much, although she was annoyed to meet boys who made fun of her skin colour. When Mary returned to Jamaica, she didn't stay long. Instead, she came up with a plan. She gathered large amounts of jams and pickles to sell in England so that she could stay longer and support herself. With her small business, Mary managed to get by for 2 more years in England. This was a big achievement for an unmarried woman at that time. It was unusual for women to travel alone, let alone set up and run businesses. Mary then returned to Jamaica once again with even bigger business ideas. When Mary got back, she set up a business selling items from other countries. To do so, she visited places like Haiti and Cuba, where she bought unique and interesting items to trade in Kingston. Mary's love of travel and her eye for business were earning her a great living. There was just one thing she missed. She wasn't practicing medicine. One day, Mary returned to Kingston from overseas to find out that the old woman who had looked after her when she was very little was really sick. Mary rushed to her bedside and took care of her. Sadly, the woman died in Mary's arms. After this, Mary went to stay with her mother, determined to learn more about being a doctress. Her mother welcomed her, and she stayed there at the boarding house, learning how to treat patients. Life in Kingston. In 1836, Mary married a man called Edwin Horatio Hamilton Seacole, a white British merchant. Edwin was from a naval family in Prittlewell, Essex, England, and was the godson of Admiral Nelson. After their wedding, Edwin and Mary opened up a shop together. With Mary's business experience, she was able to run it well, and the pair made a good team. Eventually, they shut the shop and returned to Mary's family home, Blundell Hall. The couple did not have an easy time over the coming years. In 1843, a great fire spread across Kingston, burning down their home. Despite the roaring flames, Mary was so desperate to save the house that she didn't leave it until the very last minute. It was very dangerous. She could have died. Although she couldn't save her home, Mary didn't let this dampen her determination. She set about rebuilding Blundell Hall, restocking it with all the items she needed to continue her work as a doctress. In doing so, Mary managed to build a house even better than the one before. Unfortunately, Edwin was quite a sickly man. In her book, Mary writes that she accepted his marriage proposal because she knew that with her medical expertise, she would be able to take care of him. In time, Edwin began to grow very ill. Mary decided it would be a good idea for them to move into her mother's house. Sadly, in 1844, shortly after moving to Kingston, Edwin died. Losing her husband affected Mary deeply. She couldn't move or leave the house for days and wondered whether she would ever feel happy again. It took her a long time to believe she would ever feel better, but slowly, in time, she began to heal. However, tragedy soon struck again. After losing her husband, Mary's mother also died. Life became very difficult. As a widow who no longer had her mother, Mary had to earn all her own money to support herself. She tried to stay positive and not let the bad days get her down too much. Although life was not always easy, Mary believed that hard work and happiness were more important than making lots of money. Around this time, Mary's reputation as a doctress was starting to spread. She would often treat sick officers and their wives. Mary was also visited by military surgeons who were very impressed by her medical methods. The military is the armed forces, so people who serve in the army. In those days, it was unusual for a woman of Mary's age to be unmarried, or unprotected as it was sometimes called. After her husband died, Mary had offers from men wishing to marry her, but she refused. She chose not to remarry because she was quite happy without a husband. The passage to Panama. In 1850, an outbreak of cholera hit Jamaica, making many people very ill. During this outbreak, Mary studied cholera closely. At the time, she had a military doctor staying at her house. They used his knowledge along with her medicines, and she learned a lot about treating the disease. Mary had a half-brother called Edward, and soon he moved from Kingston to Cruces on the Isthmus of Panama to open up a hotel and a shop. When he moved away, Mary felt an urge to travel. She decided to leave her house to a cousin and set off from Kingston by boat to help her brother. The Isthmus of Panama is a narrow strip of land that connects North America and South America. One side of the land faces the Caribbean Sea and the other faces the Pacific Ocean. The boat reached the isthmus at a place called Navy Bay, which was Mary's first stop. From here she would need to catch a train to Gatun. But the boat arrived late in the night and the next train wasn't until the following morning. Mary described the people in Navy Bay as looking ghostly and pale. They were sick with high fevers and dropsy, which we now know as edema. The disease causes sufferers' legs and feet to swell up painfully. Mary, always wanting to help people, pulled out her medicine chest and did what she could. But she was only there for one night, and what the people really needed was something she couldn't give them: decent meals and a warm place to stay. The next morning, it was time to catch the train to Gatun. From there, Mary would need to travel by boat again, this time along the River Chagres, which would take her to the next stop, Gorgona. When she arrived in Gatun, Mary was told that small boats could be hired to take people up the river. However, to get boats, she would need to climb a very steep and slippery hill. Mary always took great pride in her clothes. She loved to wear fancy bonnets, pretty dresses and shawls. On leaving Navy Bay, Mary had put on a light blue dress that she was very pleased with. While climbing up the hill to reach the riverboats, the thick mud made it hard to keep her balance, and Mary ended up falling over. She was not pleased that her beautiful dress was now ruined. That was bad enough, but things were about to get even worse for Mary. Hiring a boat should have been easy. It was common for people to share boats over to Gorgona, but two things stopped Mary. The first problem was that she had a lot of luggage, full of things she was taking for her brother. The second was the colour of her skin. Many people making the journey along the River Chagres to Gorgona were from America, and at that time the transatlantic slave trade was still going. The transatlantic slave trade began at the end of the 1400s. Portuguese and Spanish traders forced African people onto boats headed for American colonies. British sailors joined the trade in the 16th century. Many African people died during the voyage due to horrific conditions on board. Those who survived were treated terribly. They were made to work for no money without any hope of ever returning home. Because of the slave trade, many people with white skin viewed themselves as better than slaves, who usually had brown or black skin. Some people with white skin did not like to mix with those who had darker skin. Although Mary was not born a slave, she was still brown-skinned and experienced racism. Mary knew she was lucky, though, as captured slaves suffered far worse than she did. At least Mary was a free woman. Slaves were the property of their owners, taken from their homes and forced to work under hard conditions. Mary felt awful about the way slaves were treated. She was not afraid to speak her mind about racism and pointed out how wrong it was in her book. Fortunately for Mary, she was able to afford the £10 it would cost her to hire a whole boat to herself. A couple of days later, the boat arrived in Cruces. Life in Central America. Mary's brother, Edward, met her right off the boat. They were so happy to see each other, and Mary was relieved that the journey was over. Finally, she could start her new life helping Edward run his hotel. They had to walk a little way to the hotel, and on the way, Edward teased Mary about how dirty her clothes looked. Although she was usually good-humoured, she didn't find this very funny. Her dress was still covered in mud from the slippery hill in Gatun, and it reminded her of just how long and difficult the journey had been. As they neared the hotel, Edward gave her some bad news. There was no bed for Mary to sleep in. Crowds of people had arrived from Navy Bay, and the building was packed. But this didn't worry Mary. How bad could it be? At least she would have food and shelter. Although her brother had tried to warn her, Mary was not prepared for what she found when they arrived. The building was run down and it was crammed full of visitors. Suddenly, Mary started to feel quite sad. She had come all of this way, only to find there was barely any space for her to sit, let alone wash and change her clothes. Edward, seeing that she was tired and upset, made a space for Mary in the corner of the bar and gave her something to eat. Mary watched the crowds and the chaos. She had left Jamaica for the adventure of her dreams, but so far it was feeling more like a nightmare. Mary tried to hide herself in her little corner. She now really missed the comfortable home and life she'd left behind in Kingston. Perhaps she'd made a terrible mistake. After dinner, the place quietened down and Mary was ready for some sleep. As there was no bed for her, Mary decided to take matters into her own hands. With a bit of creativity, she took the cloth from the dinner table and made a curtain around the legs of a table, creating a little area underneath to sleep in. It wasn't quite the comfort Mary would thought she would find in Cruces, but for that night, it would do. The next morning, she woke up early, feeling refreshed. What a difference a little bit of sleep made. She got stuck in and helped prepare breakfast for the guests. Perhaps it wouldn't be so bad after all. Before long, Mary began to settle into life there. She even started dreaming up plans to open a hotel of her own. For now, though, she would stay with Edward and learn as much as she could about this new place. Mary the Doctress. Before long, Mary's skills as a doctress were called upon. One evening, her brother had been having dinner at the hotel with an old friend. Later that night, the friend suddenly became very sick and died. The people of Cruces were shocked by this mysterious death. They began to suspect that Edward might have poisoned the man. Rumours started circling, and Mary became worried for her brother. She decided to go and look at the body to see if it would give her any clues as to how he died. When she went to look, she recognised something familiar. Having recently treated patients with cholera back in Jamaica, Mary was aware it could spread and she knew exactly what she needed to do. With no doctor around in Cruces, Mary got out her medicine chest and set to work. She was aware of the warning signs and how quickly people could fall very sick. She had to act fast. The cholera spread rapidly and many people relied on Mary to treat them. Eventually, a doctor was sent for from Panama. When the doctor arrived, he wasn't familiar with cholera and how to treat it, and became overwhelmed with the horror of what it was doing to the people of Cruces. People continued to call upon Mary instead, knowing that she had the experience and medicines to try to help. Those who could afford it paid Mary for her treatments. Many, however, couldn't afford to pay. She used the money from those who were able to pay to keep her medicines in stock. This way, she was also able to help those without money who needed treatment. Mary's cholera treatment was a mixture of natural remedies that she had been learning about since she was a child. Her mother had long since passed away, but the skills Mary had picked up from her all those years ago were saving patients now. Mary wrote, "The simplest remedies were perhaps the best. Mustard plasters and emetics and calomel. When my patients felt thirsty, I would give them water in which cinnamon had been boiled." Cholera is highly contagious, and after caring for sick people for so long, it was only a matter of time before Mary herself caught the disease. One day she noticed familiar symptoms in herself. She rushed back to her brother's house and went straight to bed. By that night, more symptoms followed, and she found out that she too had caught the dreaded cholera. Word started to spread that Mary had fallen ill, and people were concerned for her. Lots of people stopped by to wish her well and bring her gifts. While it was lovely to know so many people cared, she had so many visitors that she barely had a chance to rest for a few minutes before another person knocked on the door. Luckily, Mary's bout of cholera was a mild one, and although she felt run down for some time, she was not in serious danger. After a few weeks, the cholera outbreak improved and the town was able to start living normal life again. By now, Mary had established a firm reputation as a doctoress, and she was often approached when people needed medical help. Mary was happy with this. She loved treating and helping people, but she also decided that she wanted to open up her very own hotel in Cruces.